privilege to have your name written somewhere besides the courthouse. I'm glad my name's written a little higher than Bryson City. I'm glad to know that God can reach further down than a man can reach up. And tonight it's a great joy to be a Christian, not a chore, not a miscue, not a duty. I'm serving God tonight because I blessed want to. Nobody held a gun to me and drove me up here and made me preach. I'm on my way to glory because he was hung out to dry for me. And if he'll do that, I'll do this. Can I get a witness? Amen. Down home, that's black for say amen. They need a witness. Give me a witness and they holler amen. But I'm glad to be saved and know that I am. I don't know if you can be saved and not know it. I got my opinion on that. But I'm glad I don't have to worry about it because I did. Somebody said, can you be saved and not know it? I don't know. I don't care. I know it. What do we need to fight over? What I already know. If you don't know, get to know it. You won't have to worry about it if you can have it and can't know it. Don't make me say that again. I can't. Salvation's a wonderful gift. And it comes to us through Jesus Christ. And when we come to church, listen to me now. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. If you're saved and you're 90 and you're on a walking stick, get somebody to hold it up if you have to and swing it in Jesus' glory and in Jesus' favor. If you have to say amen in a tremble with your voice, he knows and he deserves it. What kind of church service would we have if everybody came with their heart on fire with just praise that they're not going to hell? There's some tapes back there on the back table. There's a series back there that we preached entitled Islands We Must Be Cast On. Islands in the Bible. In the 27th chapter of the book of Acts, Paul taught and told those soldiers everything. You shouldn't have left. I told you not to leave. It wasn't going to be good. But he said, you did anyhow, and an angel of the Lord stood by me and told me everything's going to be all right. We're going to lose the cargo. That's going to be your ticket for doing what you ought not to. He said, but we're going to have every life saved. It was 263 of them or 73 of them on that ship. And every one of them is going to be saved. He said, how be it? Verse 26, Acts 27. How be it? You're going to be all right, but there is an island, he said, we must be cast upon. And there's some islands. You're saved and everything's going to be all right. God's coming. But before he gets here, you're going to have to attend some funerals. And you're not going to understand everything that goes on. And there's going to be some islands of disappointment and doubt, depression, and confusion. But everything... Let me remind you what Paul said. Everything's going to be all right. Your worst day as a Christian is still better than your best day as a sinner. Oh, I feel a good spirit in this place tonight. And I'm glad you're here. There's another little, go by that table and get some of that stuff. It'll help you through the fire. It did me. That's where I got all this. I don't have many sermons anymore that I got off of tape. I love to hear them, and I will preach something somebody else said if I want to. And I ain't gonna call them and ask them if it's all right. Most of them, I hear the tape at night, or either I'm in a meeting at night somewhere where I hear it, and so I can say, the Lord gave it to me in the night. And it was dark outside when I got it. But I got the best part of that out of experience. Just going through it. And you have too. There's another, a little book I wrote just recently entitled, How to Make a Choice and Live with It. How to make a choice. There's seven things in this book. If you're going through a time of choice making and you don't know what choice to make, there's seven biblical principles. You will not miss the right choice if you'll follow the Word of God. And that's what's in there. It'll help you. This is Austin. He's my oldest grandson. And this is Devin. He's his brother. These two children are my girl, Angela's boys. Some of you years ago prayed and have been praying for my daughter, for my girl. She's been through deep water. These boys come through it with them, with her, and they go with me this spring break at our house. And I take them about everywhere I can, to the store, to the church services. And she's there with us. Went through some difficulty in the marriage. And we couldn't solve that issue. That was an island we was all cast on. But I'd like to announce tonight that the Holy Ghost is still real and God is still on the throne. Amen. And God's still blessing, and things are better right now than they've ever been. And everything has come unglued. And I can say everything is still better. You can't get drunk and make that happen. You may snort coke all day long, but you won't run with a bunch of thugs that'll make that happen. Everything coming unglued, you over here standing saying, everything's better than it ever was. Amen. Amen. That ain't no sermon, but that's a message. Thank you, fellas. God bless you in the sound booth. I appreciate this little old gizmo you got on my head. I can hear a little bit better here tonight. Thank you, preacher, for loving me. And Brother Scott's just a good brother. I love these boys. I know Tommy and some of these other guys. I love every one of you. If you love preaching, God bless you. I love you. If you can't preach a lick and hate it, I love you too. I love you. You know why? I just chose to. Made a choice one day. I ain't going to hate nobody. I'm not even going to dislike anybody long. Now, I may dislike you for a little while, but I don't have mind enough to remember how long I'm supposed to dislike you. I try, but these boys tell me, Papa, I didn't think you spoke to him. I didn't think you liked him. Well, that's changed. Hush. But I appreciate you, preacher. He's got a good spirit, a good heart, and he loves God, and you ought to love him. And do everything you can. Brother Wade's just a precious friend. I love him and thank God for him and his wife and that church family down there. What a blessing to spend camp meeting with them every once in a while up at Blue Ridge. And to have many of you are here tonight from that meeting. I met some of you there and I appreciate it. And I love you and I thank God. If you're going through a hard place tonight, I want you to know this. You don't have an enemy in this preacher. You don't have an enemy in me. I've got too little time left to live. I just turned 60 and I am going to live the backside of my life like God Almighty intended for me to do, and do the best I can at loving people and encouraging people and preaching to the stuff that helps people. Amen. To go through what they're going through. Lord, we got enough trouble. They don't need to be shot and killed at the house of God. This is not a slaughter pen. This is a nursery. This This is a hospital. This is where the walking wounded come and get bound up and blessed. Hallelujah. I'm feeling a little black and Pentecostal at the same time. Hallelujah to God. Love one another. Treat one another good. You're all you got. And be good to each other and pray for one another. And when somebody gets sideways and goofy and crazy, just expect it. That's what we all are made out of. Sideways, goofy stuff. But we have a Savior who will straighten us out in the curve. You're going to be all right. Just stay in the house of God. Stick by it. It ain't no sermon, but it's a message. Somebody needs their heart to listen to this. Just stay in here. Stick by it. Well, I've been thinking about running. Well, there ain't no sense running. You may jump the fence for greener pastures, but it's easier just to fertilize your side. Because you're going to jump on a side where a bunch of Baptists is over there. They're going to be just like that bunch you jumped from. I found out you can't go nowhere without somebody being ornery. Just learn how to live with them. That fence jumping get tiresome. You hurt yourself jumping stuff like that. Just stay on the side God put you on. Hey, get your Bible and go anywhere you want to. It's all good. It's all good. You can go back there in them maps and go somewhere. Amen, Tom. It's all good. Get over there where your pawpaw signed it. Praise God. You'll feel a little touch over there too. But I'm going to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 12, and take just a moment and talk to you about weaknesses. Weaknesses. I want you to look. Let me just, for the sake of time, I done run my mouth too much. Look at verse number 9. Or let's look at verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, or three times, that it might depart from me. I begged God three times, take this thing from me. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my grace is made perfect in weakness. Isn't that what it says? That sure is a turnaround for me. I mean, I would think he would say, for my grace is made perfect in strength. But that's not what he said. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, it's made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't fit this verse of scripture good. You need to pray for me. I glory in my infirmity. Shouting about what's wrong with you? He said, I glory in my infirmities. When you learn how to live and get strength out of your weaknesses, you can glory in your infirmities. That's what the Holy Ghost showed me. Notice what it says, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in iniquity, or pleasure in, in infirmities. I'm glad when problems come. Help us, Lord. In reproaches, that's when everybody's talking about you. Running their mouth about you. That's when everybody's huddled up against you. In necessities, that means when you broke, when you lack. I'm not real good at picking out millionaires by the visual. But I'm looking in here tonight at some people that may very well be, but I don't think so. Are you here tonight in necessity? Are there lacks in your life? Goes on to say, in persecutions. Where I come from, one slapped somebody, everybody in it got to slapping people. I mean, that's just the way we were. We wasn't good cheek turners. No, it just wasn't. But it says you glory in persecutions. In distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Now I want to ask you a question. How do you become strong because you live out of your weaknesses. Now the Lord showed me a few things about this that I'd like to take this opportunity and share with you if I can for just a moment. Every one of us bear weaknesses in our testimony. Now we don't want to let the other one know about it because we are Baptist. And we are the kind of Baptist that had rather go down to the house of God and make everybody believe it's okay rather than to get somebody to share with you how that you can pray through your problem. How many times have I went to problem fellowships? How many times have I went to church? How many times have I went to a preacher's gathering? My heart about to break in two with trouble and struggle. How you doing? Wonderful. How you? And just weak in my heart. But I didn't want nobody to know it because then that shows that you're not keeping up with the Baptistic Joneses. You got to get to the place where you don't care about the Joneses. You got to get to the place to where you're concerned more about what God has to give you than what you have to put on with. Abraham had weaknesses. You say, tell me one of them. Well, he took his wife off down to Egypt and lied when it started to cost him and told them all that she was his sister. And he was the prophetic covenant receiver. Yeah, and you move right on up the line. You get to know, God blessed and helped and encouraged and saved Noah and ate by water. He saved them all out of the flood. And the time the ark landed, Noah got drunk. I'm feeling pretty good about myself. He got drunk. He was a patriarch. That was weak. Old Elijah just went down and sat down and said, I've had enough. And he got so depressed, he was at suicide's door. This man of God that was taken to heaven in a taxi cab sent from Glory Avenue and took him out. Alive. But before he left, he had printed on the bottoms of his feet, manufactured by God, but weak. Old Samson was a man who could take the gates off their hinges and walk around town bragging about it. He got messed up and weak because of his lust. David, a man after God's own heart. Am I right about it? A man after God's. I'm feeling real good about my Christianity. Feeling bad about myself. A man after God's own heart was adulterous and murdered to cover it. And the reason David did was he was weak. You know, there's not anything that any of us won't do if we get weak enough. And don't look at me and tell me that, preacher, I have come to the place in my Christian life to where I am above that. Look out. I want to make a proposition to you tonight, and I have 181 preacher boys that I teach homiletics to on Thursdays, every Thursday night, and I teach them stay on the trail, stay on the course. And they do it with a statement, with an aim in it that I make them make, and they can't veer from that. And I'm going to practice my own teaching tonight, and I'm going to tell you tonight as a proposition, every one of us can live with our weaknesses. You say, I want God to take mine away. The best Christian in the New Testament didn't get him to do it. You go ahead and try. But you might well go get you a hot dog or Pepsi Cola. You'll gain more from it. Are you listening? We can all make it with and through our weaknesses by receiving three, listen, here's a key word I want you to think about. Three truths, and they are truths that are truthful out of this portion of Scripture. Let me give them to you if I can tonight. We're talking about weaknesses. Number one, listen close. Number one, don't make a move when you get weak, but wait until you are strong to move. How many people have you ever seen move when they were weak only to later regret the move because they made it at a time when their strength was gone? Oh, you're going to get weak. But you do not have to be moved in your weakness away from the place where your strength is coming. Your strength will show up at the last place your weakness came. If you move from that place, you are apt to lose your ability to catch up with your strength. I was standing in the Kroger not long ago talking to a stalk of bananas. I don't like the grocery store. I think when you got to pay $3 for Snap, Crackle, and Pop, somebody's holding a gun to your head. My wife sent me to I don't go to the grocery store. She sent me not long ago. I thought it would be at least 98 cents to $1.05 for a box of cereal. Oh, no, no, God, no. They like that stuff. And I went over and just talked to the bananas. I was looking at them bananas. And I got to thinking about how safe they were on the stalk. And I told them, I said, don't leave where you are. Because the first and off is peeled. Where is the safest place for them nanas? On the stalk with the rest of them. I ain't seen nobody trying to peel a nana and eat it on the stalk. That nana's got to be removed from the comfortableness of the stalk in order to be peeled and eaten. Let me ask you a question tonight. In your weakness, is the devil trying to move you? How many times have you seen this? Come weeping. Oh, Brother Scott, my family and I feel like God wants us here. We just believe the Lord has put us right here. Oh, Brother Scott, pray for us and let us join up. Brother Scott's glad to have you. Appreciate you coming. The whole church will receive you. And you come in and get you a seat, and all of a sudden the preaching stirs your heart. The glory of God moves in and the Lord's blessing you. But the devil hadn't forgot where you moved your letter. And what will he do when you start getting used to it? How many of you know you get used to it? And it begins to get a little old to you. And it begins to get a little bit familiar. There's a word, familiar. It gets a little here it is, humdrum. You get used to it. And then you're living out there in the world so many hours and only coming over here a few. And the devil works on your weaknesses out there. And what will he tell you? Why in the world do you keep going to that church? It ain't helping you none. Look at your set of circumstances. Look at your trouble. Look at your problem. Look at your difficulty. If God's so good, why are you living so difficult and so badly? You might as well just snatch your family up and leave. They will not do that. Are you listening to me? They will not do that when they're strong. Most people do not make their greatest mistakes in life when they're up. They make their worst mistakes in life when they are weak. I got to preach one time in a meeting with old Dr. Reuben Fields. He was from California. He didn't come this way much. I was just a kid when I had the privilege only to see him once. And he said, Reverend, I'll send you some tapes if you promise me you'll listen to them. I said, I'll be glad to. He's an old black preacher from out on the West Coast, Reuben Fields. He sent me a tape, or two or three, and one of them was called Amen and Amen. And in that tape, he told a story about when he was a boy. Maybe I can tell it. And it illustrates the point. He said, every Sunday, we'd come home from the house of God. He said, Mama'd say, Reuben, go out there in the yard and get me one of them chickens. And I want you to wring their neck, cut their head off, let them flop around. When they quit flopping, you bring them on in here. Old Reuben said, I'd go out there, and he said, some Sunday there'd be a white un. He said, some Sunday there'd be a black un. He said, another Sunday there'd be a black and a white. He said, it didn't much matter what they looked like in the yard, because when you put them in the pot, they wasn't nothing but chicken. He said, I got that chicken that day. And said, Mama, I took him in there, Mama boiled them feathers, plucked them feathers. And she said, boy, you take them two cousins of yours out in the yard and stay out the road. Don't go in the road. I take the broom handle and whoop you. Don't go in the road. He said, we went out in the front yard playing like cousins do. He said, I had a little old stick we'd broke out of a tree. He said, we had taken some tape, Mama had. We had wrapped up some old newspapers and taped them newspapers, and we call ourselves ball player. He said, my cousin wound up and said, he ran back and he throwed the ball. He said, and I was standing there and said, I took a lick at it. Reverend, I took a lick at it. Whew. He said, and missed it. He said, you throw it back down here, mister, I bet I don't miss it again. He got that ball back, that piece of paper. He throwed that makeshift ball. Old Reuben said, I popped that ball. He said, lo and behold, it went across the road. He said, now the last thing you're going to do is go ask Mama if you can go get it, because that makes you look like a sissy in front of your cousin. He said, so I just decided them boys wasn't going across the road because they scared Mama worse than I was. He said, I went to the edge of that ditch and I looked around. He said, and I saw the ball over there in the sagebrush. He said, I run out in the middle of the road, and before I knowed it, a car was coming down that dusty road flying. He said, I stopped, and he seen me. He said, I backed up. That car went by me. He said, like to hit me. He said, the dust was so thick, I couldn't tell where I was. He said, and all of a sudden, the dust settled a little bit, and yonder coming back down the road, that car had turned around and was coming back down the street. He said, dust was everywhere in the road. He said, I was standing in the middle of the road. He said, I figured my best move was no move. He said, I thought I'd just stand there because it's the only place I ain't been hit yet. He said, so I just stood in the middle of the road, said another car come down through there, and it was dusty. They seen me and blowed the horn and went on by. He said, I figured my best move was no move at all. He said, I just stood right there where they could see me real good when the dust settled, and I had my right mind. He said, I ran over there and got that ball and ran back in the yard, and lo and behold, there stood Mama, sure enough. He said, she grabbed me and said, I'm glad that you stayed in the middle of the road. Said, because if you'd have moved either way, you could have been run over. I want to tell you something tonight, church. If you move sometimes either way, you can lose your life by the choices you make. Now, let me ask you a question. What have we learned all of a sudden here tonight, all together here tonight? What have we learned? When we're weak, be still. If the preacher is tearing your hide off by the inch, stay where God put you. One old boy told me this. He said, bloom where you planted. He said, because ain't nothing blooming that snatched up and replanted every 15 months. It's good preaching if I am done. Let me ask you a question. Where are you going that you're moving in your weakness? I had an evangelist friend not long, several years ago, got bursitis real bad and rheumatoid arthritis and got discouraged, and I begged him. I said, wait it out. You'll get better. Things will look up. I was just really trying to encourage him a little bit. He wrote and canceled 9 months worth of his meetings. Didn't know how he was going to eat or live. He canceled them. He got discouraged and downtrodden and defeated and hurting. Wasn't 30 days after he canceled them, he got better. And all them people had done something else. And there he sat, made a move when he was down. He should have waited till he got back up. Here is the second truth. Not only don't make a move when you're weak. Number two, don't ever doubt in the dark what God tells you in the light. Don't untie in doubt what you tie up in faith. Am I making any sense? I'm going to say it again. Don't doubt in the dark what God gave you in the light. And don't untie in doubt what the Holy Ghost ties up in faith. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, God has a purpose for every one of you, and he has a place for every one of you, and God Almighty has power in the circumstances to cause your situation to glorify him. Amen. And Satan knows it. So what will he try to do? He will try to get you to untie, just like he did Job. He'll try to get you to untie in your physical and mental and spiritual weakness. Untie, come loose from what God gave you in the light. Now, Satan does not know everything, contrary to what somebody might tell you or might try to teach you. He is not omniscient in that he's all powerful or omnipotent or omniscient. God is all powerful. Satan has some power. God is all knowing. Satan just follows around hoping to find out details. And he can only sometimes know what he hears. And we ought to keep our mouths shut. Because a whole lot of that complaining you do leads to more complaining, because he dispatches demons to your corner to get you to go deeper into discouragement. And don't you always do that when you listen to yourself? Don't untie in doubt what God ties up in faith. Because it's in weaknesses when the devil will come and tell you, if that was Jesus, how come you're feeling so bad? If God is so wonderful and so prevalent, and this is so much God in your experience, why is it going south? God didn't promise it always be going toward whipped cream and strawberries. He just promised, stay with me and I'll help you through your trouble. And if you'll just stay with him, he'll bless you and he'll help you. I've only pastored two churches. The first one, right out of college, I was 23. And I went to that fellowship, stayed 3.5 years, and I've been where I am now for 32 years. And enjoying it every day more than I ever have. Why? Because I'm living out of my weaknesses. And I'm not going to let them run me off, my weaknesses. I'm not going to let them dictate direction, my weaknesses. When I get down and when I get defeated and when I have problems, I'm not going to let them take me out. Are you listening? Listen, listen, listen. Try to listen close. Try to listen close. Because he's trying his best to get you to miss this. Do what you can to help me. Do what you can to help me. Watch out when you're weak. Be careful, because the devil wants to come and tell you God made a mistake when he gave you purpose while you were in your good times and in your blessed times. God gave you purpose, and then the devil has come along now and thinks he knows where it's going, and he does everything to undo it. I'm pastoring this church. The Lord spoke to me one Sunday to resign it. My wife was in the hospital. We had those two children I told you about last night die. We were at the bottom of the barrel as far as encouragement goes. But I was entombed for 2 or 3 weeks, more than I had been in a while, because my problem had driven me to my Savior. Thank God. God for your trouble. It's what keeps you spiritual. And if you are here tonight walking in the Spirit, I promise you, you're a target. And he'll try to confuse the issue. Satan loves to make God look like a fool in your life. But he can't do it if we stay by God. And the Lord had been speaking to me. This happened, and Satan was doing his best to take hold. He wasn't at the forefront of it, but he was taking what God was doing, and he was trying to undo through defeat in my life. And the Lord had been dealing with me for some time and told me that night, said, now is the time. I had a perfect, absolute, God-given peace. And one of the reasons I did was, somebody asked me that, how do you know when God's through with you? When you just can't stand the place anymore. When you don't have a burden for the people anymore. And when the whole thing is just absolutely been pulled out of you, like somebody had took your heart out. You can rest assured, you're not doing anybody any good, and they're not getting any good from what you're doing if you're doing it out of your intellect and not out of your inspiration. And I knew the Lord was done with me, but I didn't have anywhere to go. I said, Lord, what are we gonna do? what are we going to do with this situation? He said, I'll tell you when you do what you know I said last to do. I'm not going to tell you three things. I'm going to tell you, are you going to resign? We'll talk from there. Call me. Help me. Call me. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. In Jesus' name, don't miss this. And I got up and I told him, I said, I don't know why. I can't tell you why. But the Lord is finished with me here. They went crazy. They gave me a month off. They gave me two raises and tried to beg me. I mean, tried to buy me out of doing the future. Bless their heart, they were Baptists. They didn't know nothing else. That's what you do when you don't know anything else. You start getting money together and you're making promises. And I told them, I said, no, that's not what we need to do. That's not what we're going to do. It's not going to happen. And so I got up and resigned. Spent 11 weeks not knowing where I was going next. Not knowing what I was going to do next. Not knowing a thing. And the Lord was providing every week, and the Lord was giving every week what we needed. And in the midst of that, here come a church that had 800 in Sunday school and begged me to come and preach for them. And I went down there and preached for them, and I preached 6 weeks and had 51 saved. Place was a fertile ground for sinners, and most of them was church members. And they got in. I mean, I went down there on the fifth week and baptized them, and on the sixth week, I was going back. They had voted my wife and I in already. We didn't even want to be voted on. I didn't know what the Lord wanted, but I wasn't feeling good about it. I mean, everything was in place. My wife said, I feel the Lord. I said, it's that five-bedroom pastorum with that kidney-shaped swimming pool that you like. She said, you pray, I'll pack. Amen. She had her little bathing suit ready to get wet. And I couldn't get, it wasn't red or green, it was just caution. And I was praying, going down there, down the road, never will forget it. And I said, Lord, why is it so difficult? It looks so good, and I don't sense you even looking like I'm looking. Tell me what the Holy Ghost spoke to me one time in that situation that I can tell you was concrete. He said this. He said, you can go, and I'll bless you. Or you can follow me, and I'll own you. He said, you can go. It's up to you. If you're bent to go on what you're seeing and feeling, I'm going to bless you because I love you and I'm going to bless you. You say, I don't believe that. I don't really care what anybody believes. I'm telling you what happened. He said, you go and I'll bless you. I'm waiting on you to tell me what you want to do. You stay. And I'll own you. I said, Lord, what do you mean own? What is in that? He said, you'll find out when you make your choice. And I stopped in the middle of in the lowlands of South Carolina, down at Blackville, South Carolina. The watermelon capital of the world was a sign sitting there. When I stopped at a payphone and called the guy and told him, I won't be coming even tomorrow to preach. I'm going home. And I'm going to find God's ownership. Would you please think about our people? You are the man. Now that came from Charleston, not heaven. And I said, no, sir. I understand, but I will not submit to that. I can't. Pray for us, and we love you. And I hate this, but I'm not going to drag you any further into this. It is not the Lord's will. And I hung up. All the way back to the car, I looked at my wife. She is giving me that deer in the headlight look. Like you just shot both of us out of the saddle. And the whole time I was walking back, the devil said, that was a smart move. Now I know I've done right. Because had I done wrong, he wouldn't have challenged it. So all of a sudden, now I know. I get in my car and I start back home. That was 32 years plus last Christmas. They've had 7 preachers in that pulpit. I've kept up with them a little bit. 7 preachers in that pulpit. I've been able to stay 32 years and see thousands of people saved and called to preach and blessed and baptized. And thank God and the Lamb forevermore. They're coming from every 4 corners of the world, getting in, getting with it, God's blessing. And he asked me the other day and said, aren't you glad that you came with me instead of them? I started out with 9. I preached my first service in my living room on Sunday because I didn't know nothing else to do. I had 9. 5 of them was my 3 children, me and my wife. So I ain't really had but 4. And they couldn't count to 10. We tried to sing Amazing Grace, and it took all of it to sing it. It was pitiful. We didn't have a book. We didn't have a pen. All we had was a couch, 2 chairs, and some coffee table and some stuff on it. And I stood up with 9, and the devil stood in the back and said, you done good, son. Look at your crowd. When you can count them in about 2 seconds, you probably ain't got many. Then there was 15. Then there were 25. And then there were 37. Then there was 80. And last Sunday, there was 2,000. And we won't be able to put them in the building Sunday. And we just built one. And they're coming out of the woodwork, seeking, looking, hunting. This generation has produced a people who know not God, and they're looking for hope and help and strength. And wherever you prepare for them, God will send them. And I'm glad to know tonight, his ownership's better than their fellowship. Can somebody give me a witness? His ownership's better than their fellowship. Don't make a move when you're weak. I'm going to leave that man. You need to wait till he gets paid again. Call me and I'll tell you when to leave. Don't leave till I tell you. Just call me. I'll leave you my number and we'll get you strong again, and you'll turn right around and love him and kiss on him and go off with him and do everything in the world with, and show us the world. You'll feel different about it, but you're just down a little bit right now. Uh-uh. Don't hunt a lawyer just because your snap or your crackle didn't pop. That's what it's all about when you say, I do. Amen. Number 2, don't untie in doubt what you tie up in faith. When I left, I said, I'll follow God. That crowd came to me and tried to intrude on and interrupt my fellowship with God. And I was not going to untie in doubt what I tied up in faith. Walk with him. Here's the last one. Here's the last truth. Use your up times to get strong so that when your down times come, they won't be long. Most people waste their up time. Well, ain't no sense going to church today. They go to the lake. Or it ain't no sense in getting all excited about three times a week. Lord God, they'll be there when we get there. Let's go to mama's. And before you know it, they're taking their up times and they're do y'all use this word up here? Squandering them. You come down here when you're up and you get strong enough to go up some more. So that you get up enough that when you go down, you're not falling past your last down place. Most of us have stayed so deadly even that our down times are just taking us further because we don't have any strong times to take us up. Use your up times to get really up so that when your down times come, they won't be past your last up time. Instead of are you listening? Do it. A fellow told me something one time changed my life. It's one of the statements I have memorized that I'll never lose. He said, son, it's not the heights of your heights that make you a good Christian, but the heights of your depths that change your life. Did you hear it? I had to ask him to say it twice so I could write it down. In a restaurant, he said to me, it's not the heights of your heights. It's not what everybody can see that's going to make you a good Christian, but the heights of your depths. How deep you go when you're up is going to determine how strong you can get as you journey on. I quit. Thank you for being such a good crowd to preach to. I want to illustrate. You got to go deeper so you can be stronger. But you got to do that in your up times. Because when you're weak, you don't care if you're strong or not. When you get down and you get frustrated, you don't give a, is this a term up here? A rip. I'm in the mountains. It's different where I live. I have to watch what I say. They don't talk like y'all down there. I know because I went down there and they've converted me to a heathen. Up here they say Brother Laurie. Down there they say Brother Larry. Ewans ain't no word down there. I said it twice and got literally cussed out. Ewans what? Half of y'all couldn't even come see me. We won't stay long. And you gotta go deep. Years ago, tell you this illustration. We had a big old tree in our yard, in the churchyard. And it fell over the driveway on a Sunday when a storm came through. I'm talking about this big. It was 150 years old. It blowed over in the driveway. Illustrates the point well. Well, I got some rednecks. They're not people from the mountains, but they're rednecks. That means they got guns in their back window of the truck, and they always got a saw, you know. They always got a saw in the toolbox, and their wives chew tobacco. And, you know, rednecks. They go in the Winn-Dixie and stare at the orange concentrate because it says concentrate. They're rednecks. I'm talking about real ones. Yeah. You wish you could have as good a time as I do. You wish. I can tell some of y'all are lusting after my joy. And I got this old boy, Roy Willis. I said, Roy, can you come over here to church? The tree's blown over the driveway. He said, I'll be over there in a minute. He'd come over there and pull the truck. It ran. He worked for the power company. He just, before I know it, he had that stuff sawed up ready to burn. Right there on a Sunday afternoon. Had the driveway cleared, and we come through. Wasn't nothing but a few pine needles. I got to church that night. I said, Roy, I sure appreciate you cutting that tree down. He said, ain't no problem. He said, what you gonna do with it? I said, nothing. Why? He said, I know somebody that'll want it. They'll haul it off for you if you'll just let them have it. I said, they can sure do it. Clean it up. If they'll clean, he said, I'll send them by here in the morning. Well, I was up at the church about 9:30 waiting on them, and I heard, pow, 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 pow. It was ungodly. It was a truck coming up the hill, bah, 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 and finally it got in the yard, and I run to the door and looked, and a man fell out of it. He had on a pair of his old bib overalls, what had two buttons, you know. And had them two buttons down so that they was ventilated. That's why them buttons are on. Now, don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. You're in the mountains. You ain't from here if you don't know what I'm talking about. If your daddy don't wear them, your papa did. You know it. I know they just scratch, you know. Put their hands in them bibs and hold. I mean, it's ventilated, wasn't it? Wasn't it, Scott? Yeah, there was. And got got everything from their family tree to all their bills and everything in that top pocket, you know. I'm talking about your daddy, ain't I? Some of you, I'm talking about your husband. And he fell out of that truck, and he had an old pair of boots on, had the tongue laid out in them, and no strings ever been in them, And they just old flannel shirt, and they had an old felt hat on, and he's about 70. His name, last name, Mackey. He fell out of that truck, and he going around in the yard and looking. Ain't never been around no church. I stepped out. I said, sir, can I help you? And about that time, he turned around, and he had a wad. I mean, all the tobacco they ever made in South Carolina. He had it in his jaw. That man, honest to goodness, he could spit. He could spit and kill a bush that big. You can't kill that one because it ain't never been live, but and when he'd do it, it would just brown, and them azaleas just wilt. Now, I'm not against, if you chew, God bless you. I ain't against it. I ain't going to do it, but God knows you're rough on the vegetation. I am concerned where you spit. And I said, can I help you? He said, no, I come to help you. I said, say what? Because when I looked, he was just dripping. He said, he just kill another bush. Bushes are expensive. He just kill a bush. And I said, what are you going to help me? He said, I come get that tree. I said, you're the man Roy sent. Yeah, right. He's killing them two now at a time. Then he looked at me. He said, get in. I said, say what? He said, get in. Can't you hear? I said, yes, I it's early though, and I ain't walked. I sure ain't. I ain't walked. I never walked. I ain't took my walk today. I'll meet you down there. Suit yourself. Some of you ain't done none of this all day. I can tell by looking at you. It's got you by the neck. He just, well, he got in that pulpwood truck. I don't know how they get so tore up. Have you ever seen a pulpwood truck? You could say it was green or red or yellow. Nah, you just say, God, what is it? I mean, the windows are beat out of them, the seats are gone. I went around, I was going to get in there one time. I went around, and he had a 5-gallon dope can turned over, and a rear-end dope can. It was sitting there with a pillow on it. Call it a seat. I looked over at his seat, and the springs was raw, just sticking right out. You'd have needed an operation to drive that thing far. And he just jumped up in it, springs and all, boing, boing. I mean, hit the switch, didn't have no clutch in it. He just hit the switch, and, whoop, 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 whoop. And I heard him going down here, pow, 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 boom. He just run it into a tree. Run it into a tree. I got down there as quick as I could, and he was standing around. Don't miss this. He took me to school. The old boy ain't been to school a day in his life. I looked at him trying to be the hot dog I am. I said, what happened to the tree? He said, my God, son, it fell down. I said, I know it fell down. I said, just why? See, I say I'm a hot dog because I should have shut up when he got me on the first one. But oh no, a hot dog ain't going to shut up. I said, why did it fall down? He said, because it got tired of standing up. I said, what? He said, y'all took all these trees out from around this big one. When the wind hit, boom, it got tired. Yeah. I was standing up. He said, these old trees don't have much of a root system. They balance on finger roots. But he said, when the wind hit this one, finger roots wasn't wide enough. Blowed it over the driveway. Because it got tired of standing up. And you know why? We fall out. We fall down. And we fall away. It's because in our storm, and in our weaknesses, we get tired of standing up. Boom. You can make it with your weaknesses. Number one, don't move when you're weak. If you'll take these three things home with you, you went somewhere tonight.
Yes.
Number one, don't make a move. Wait till you get strong. Number two, don't untie in the dark what you tie up in the light. Don't give up on what God told you in the light when you get in the dark. Stay put with God. He'll fulfill his promise. And number three, use your up times to get strong enough so that your down times won't be many. You know, you can go so far up that when you get down, it don't affect your position. It will affect you, but it won't affect your position because you're steady pumping vitamins into the body. And as long as you're pumping strength in there, you'll still have problems and issues, but you will not be taken to the bottom when it strikes. Because you have, what is the word? You have inoculated yourself with strength over weakness. How many preachers tonight are in the wrong pulpit or aren't in one at all because they moved? How many people have lost what God gave them because they untied it when they got discouraged? How many great ministries will never be because they got untied in the dark? And how many people, when they're so weak they can't hardly move, forget church, forget God, and forget strength when they're up so that they won't go down and lose it all? Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you and we praise you tonight for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of this portion of the Word of God that you taught me. I don't know who else will receive it tonight. I hope many will, many have. I hope that. But Lord, tonight I know what it's done for me. It's kept me in the ministry. It's kept me moving toward God. Now I pray right now in Jesus' name that you'll take this crowd of people and you will anoint them and bless them to receive truth. And we're going to give you glory and praise. Everybody's head bowed and eyes closed. Preacher, you was talking tonight to me and my set of circumstances and my situation. Would you pray for me? Here's my hand to God. I want you to pray for me. I see one over here. Who else? Just get real honest in the back. God bless you. I wouldn't come to you, drag you to an altar for nothing. I'd let you go home confused before I'd embarrass you. I'm not going to do it. I wonder how many of you slip your hands up. There's way, way, way too many hands not raised. Only three or four people. God bless you, ma'am. Who else raised? You was talking right to me. When I'm weak, preacher, right now I'm going through my weakness. God bless you, son. I'm in my weakness, and I want you to pray for me because sure as the world, God bless you. Sure as the world, the devil's going to attack, especially now that I've heard this. The devil and all of hell is going to be turned loose, and the demons are going to get my track and my scent. And they're going to come after me and hound me. I'm asking for prayer tonight. I want God to touch my situation. I want everybody that raised your hand, God bless you right there. Everybody that raised your hand to stand up and come and find a place in this altar. And we're going to pray together. Come on, don't you be embarrassed. Don't you be laid back. Don't you be careful. Don't you let the devil keep you confused. I'm not about to get in your business. I don't need to know your problem. I can't fix it no how. But if you'll come right now from where you were, if you raise your hand, stand up. That's it. If you can't kneel, come and stand. If you can't stand, come and sit on the front row. Come right on. Come on, come on, come on. Come on. When I'm weak, oh God, when I'm weak, I want God's strength. I want God's power. I want God's direction. I want God's help. Right now, just stand straight up, straight up, straight up. Anybody else want to get in on this? Oh, God, tonight help us. Father, in Jesus' name, through the power of the Holy Spirit, help us, God, when we get down. Help us, Lord, when we're almost out. Help us, Lord, when we hear the count to go to two licks on the canvas, to be able to raise up one more time and to say, the Lord is my strength and my redeemer. He is my refuge. He is my strong and mighty tower. He is my hope and my strength. He is all I need and all I want. He's my God and my Redeemer, my strength and my power. He is my hope beyond my trouble, my hope beyond my problem. Help us tonight, Lord. Feed the children of God these truths so that we can act on them and do something about them before it's too late. Oh, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for these precious people. Bless them tonight, I pray in the name of Jesus. Everybody stand with us, please. All over the building, stand up. I wonder if we could have somebody come play that piano and just play Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. Amazing Grace, the song director, if you would, brother, come.